بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. Seeking guidance and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, in this series of lectures, we are going to study the Islamic understanding of brotherhood and friendship. I thought this is a relevant topic for our community. And inshallah, if we know what is the value and significance of ties of brotherhood and sisterhood, friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, then we can better appreciate the relation that we have with our friends and brothers and sisters, and also to inshallah strengthen our ties. If you are interested in following this topic, I had a series also on human relations in the Quran, which is alhamdulillah available online. And in that series, we reflected on different concepts used in the Quran for positive, constructive, supportive relation, or for negative and hostile relation. There are many different terms and notions used in the Quran. So, and brother is one of those concepts which Quran uses for positive, supportive relation. But if you want others, you can refer inshallah to that series. There is a beautiful hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That if we understand this hadith, I don't need then to add anything to show how important it is to have a good brother or good sister in faith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, "Mastafada imru'un muslim fa'idatan ba'da al-islam mithla akhin yastafiduhu fillah." No Muslim has ever benefited from anything after Islam which is like a brother in faith that is beneficial for you in your path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, when we say brother, this is for brothers, and it means also sisters, for sisters. So Rasulullah is saying, after Islam, which is the most beneficial thing that we can achieve, the greatest blessing of Allah is guidance, is Islam. But after Islam, the greatest achievement is a brother in faith, a mu'min friend that has the characteristics that inshallah we will discuss in this series. Someone that you can trust, someone with whom you can share your concerns. You can find comfort when you meet that person. This is greatest thing after Islam. And we know that Rasulullah does not exaggerate. Rasulullah is not a person that gets excited and then, you know, overemphasizes on something. There is a hadith that our Sunni brothers have mentioned in their books. that there was a person in the time of Rasulullah, and he says, I used to write down all the hadith. Any hadith I heard from Rasulullah, I used to write down. Then he says, فَنَّهَتْنِي قُرَيْشْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. Quraysh, who were the same tribe members after Rasulullah, they said, don't do this. Don't write down everything Rasulullah says. Because أَنَّ الرَّجُلُ, this man, sometimes يَغْضِب, sometimes يَفْرَ, sometimes he's angry, sometimes he's happy. So maybe he says something which is just for that moment, not to be registered. When he's very happy, he may say something about something, one or something that is out of being excited. Don't write down everything. You see, unfortunately, even during the life of the Prophet, there were such people who were Muslims. They were not kuffar, but they were not very much understanding the value of the teachings of the Prophet. So he says, then I decided to stop writing hadith of the Prophet. Then I mentioned this to the Prophet himself, that I used to write down all your hadith, but then people told me not to write down. Then according to this hadith, which our Sunni brothers have mentioned, Prophet pointed, referred to his mouth and said, Uktub, write down, nothing comes out of this except the truth. Prophet is not a person that exaggerates or, you know, says something and later regrets. مَا يَنْتَغُ عَنِ الْحَوَى. He doesn't speak out of his whims. So, Rasulullah, with all the wisdom, knowledge that he has, he says, مَسْتَفَادَ مْرُؤٌ مُسْلِمٌ فَائِدَةً بَعْدَ فَائِدَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ مِثْلُ أَخٍ يَسْتَفِيدُهُ فِي اللَّهِ. No Muslim has ever made any achievement, has benefited from anything after Islam like a brother that benefits you in your journey towards Allah. So this shows how important it is to gain such brothers and sisters. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in a hadith about the relation of believers with respect to each other, he says, this is in Al-Kafi, Al-Mu'minu Akhul Mu'min. A believer is a brother for another believer. As the Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Mu'mineen, they are brothers for each other. And this is Quran. This is not something, you know, which has least of exaggeration. Indeed, I think when we say إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, we are not saying everything. We are using a concept which is familiar to people. Otherwise, the relation of mu'mineen with each other is more than brothers. Because brothers can sometimes be like Habil and Qabil. Brothers from the same father and mother, genetic or biological brothers, can sometimes be very much different, can sometimes work against each other. In the case of Qabil, he can be quite opposite to his brother Habil and can even decide to kill him. So when Allah says mu'mineen are brothers, it doesn't mean ordinary brothers. It means they are so close to each other, so friendly and intimate, that among the relations that you know and are familiar with you, I can say they are really brothers. They are very good brothers. But it's much more than this. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Al-mu'minu akhul mu'min, aynuhu wa daliluhu. A mu'min is brother for another mu'min, his eye. A mu'min is an eye for another brother. You know, how dear is your eye for you? Our eyes are very dear, very important, and we trust them. You know, even we trust our eyes more than we trust our ears. We trust our eyes more than we trust reading, listening, thinking. Sometimes, you know, maybe over years, you think about someone in one way, and then you see something and you change your idea. We so much trust our eyes. So mu'min should be so dear and so trustworthy and reliable for another mu'min that it's like his eye. وَدَلِيلُهُ, and his guide. Mu'mineen are guides for each other. It is not something that is only applicable to wise, learned friends. No, this is mutual. Maybe two mu'min in the same level of knowledge. None of them also, maybe it's an alim, but still they can be guide for each other. How? Many times in our relations, we are stuck. Many times in our social life, we are stuck. We cannot see the truth properly. We cannot make right decision easily. Because we are emotionally attached to one side or the opposite. I want to do something, and because I love to do that, I cannot see really the advantages and disadvantages. If I love something, I only see the advantages. I don't see the disadvantages. And if I see, I always underestimate them. You know, when you want to do something, then the problems all look insignificant. You try to not think about the problems. Or if you don't want to do something, the problems become very significant in your eyes and you don't think about the advantages. So many times we cannot make proper decision because of our emotions, because of our personal attachment to the case. A brother in faith, a sister in faith, is the one that can be my guide. Not necessarily because he is a very learned person. Not necessarily he is alim or alima. If you have a friend who is alim, who is alima, it's very good. But even an ordinary friend who is mu'min, who is trustworthy, can help you and be your guide in making decision, because he or she knows you and also is not attached to that case. So can give you advice, and if you go wrong, can correct you. Unfortunately, sometimes people think a good friend is the one that who always gives you green light. Who is a good friend? The one that never says no to me. He always encourages me. He always, you know, praises me, flatters me. This is not a good friend. A good friend is the one that encourages me when I am doing something right, but discourages me when I want to do something wrong. praises me, but there are times also that blames me. Sometimes he makes me happy, sometimes he makes me cry. This is a good friend. So, a brother in faith or a sister in faith is the one that can be taken as a guide in this sense. Not that he or she can become your, I don't know, marja, or can become your leader. No, guide in this sense, that can give you piece of advice which is not necessarily coming from an alim, is coming from someone who is looking at the things objectively. La yakhunuhu. He never betrays his brother or her sister. A mu'min is someone that you feel 100% safe. You know, there are many people that we have to be worried about in this world, unfortunately. The sad thing is that this world is not a world in which you can trust everyone. You have to learn whom to trust and whom not to trust. And to be on the safe side, most of the time you have to take measures and arrangements that maybe this person, maybe this friend, this colleague, this neighbor, this partner in business, maybe he's going to betray. You have to be careful. You cannot put your trust in people unless you have really tested them and tried them for a long time. The reality is that unfortunately many people are selfish. Many people are after their own interests in a very fast and easy way. Therefore, they may betray. This is sad. But at least we need to have people that we can trust. I cannot be worried all the time. I have to have some brothers that I can trust 100%. This is a need for human beings. I cannot be all the time worried. One of the beauties of parents is that they never betray you. If there is exception, you know, maybe that is less than 1%. Why it is so important to have your mother or your father? Because you are 100% sure that they may make mistake, but they never betray. They always love you. They always want good for you. This gives comfort. I can always go to my father and my mother and be sure that they don't betray me. But this must not only stop with father and mother. I should be able to find among my brothers and sisters in faith also people that I can be 100% trusting them, and they never betray me. They never learn something from me and then disclose to people. They never want to gain from me by harming me. They never, you know, make politics against me. La yakhunuhu wa la yadhlimuhu. He never does injustice to his brother or sister in faith. A mu'min never does any zulm, especially when it comes to mu'mineen. We cannot do zulm even to insects. We cannot do zulm even to animals. We cannot do zulm to our enemies. We cannot do zulm to anyone. But when it comes to a brother or sister in faith, it's not possible to imagine that a mu'min does injustice to his brother in faith or sister in faith. وَلَا يَغُشُّهُ. Also, he would not do anything to hide and cover the truth and put the brother or sister in faith in a position that he makes mistakes.
Ghash means to deceive. Now, one of the things that in Islamic sources is very much condemned is ghash. For example, if someone wants to sell something, he cannot deceive the buyer. If my good is faulty, I cannot deceive the buyer and present it in the way that he thinks it's, you know, good, it's good order, and sell it. If someone comes for advice, I cannot deceive him. I should give my true and honest advice. Ghash in consultation, ghash in business, all are condemned. A mu'min never deceives his brother or sister. A believer never hides the reality and put his brother and sister in a situation that he makes a decision and then he regrets. Then he would lose. Then he would suffer. وَلَا يَعِدُهُ عِدَةً فَيُخُلِفُهُ. Also, he never promises and then breaks his promise. This is something that, again, we have to observe with respect to everyone. Whenever we promise, we have to keep our promise. But especially, we have to keep our promise with respect to our brothers and sisters in faith. And if someone fails to observe his promise with respect to his brothers and sisters in faith, then how can this person be given any value? You have to keep your promise even when you promise your enemies, even you promise the people who have no faith. But the minimum expectation is, at least with respect to mu'mineen, we should keep our promise. How can we call a society an Islamic society if people cannot trust promises of each other? How can we call a community, a Muslim community, if people have to take promises in writing and still they are not sure whether this person is going to keep his promise or not? This is not Islamic society. It is good, we write down, we make, you know, documentation, but this is only for the sake of formality and ihtiyat. Otherwise, the word of mu'min is most reliable thing. If a mu'min says something, then it's impossible to betray or to break his promise. Even our hadith says, when you promise children, your own children, don't take this as something easy. When you promise your child, maybe you have 2 years old, 3 years old, you know, child, you promise something, you have to keep it. إِذَا وَعَدْتُمُوهُمْ فَفُوا لَهُمْ. You have to keep your promise. If my child sees that all the time I keep my promise, then he grows up with this quality of being a loyal person, a trustworthy person. But if my child sees that even his father can say something and then doesn't keep his promise, then he learns to do this with other people. So mu'min is the one that when he promises, he never breaks his promise. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Al-mu'minu akhul mu'min, aynuhu wa daliluhu. Mu'min is brother for another mu'min, is his eye, his guide. La yakhunuhu, never betrays. Wa la yadlamuhu, never does injustice. Wa la yaghushuhu, never deceives his brother or sister in faith. وَلَا يَعِدُهُ عِدَةً فَيُخْلَفَهُ And never gives a promise, makes a promise, and then breaks. Another beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This is an answer to the question that people may ask, okay, how many brothers in faith we need? How many sisters in faith we need? Two, three, how many? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, استكثروا من الإخوان. Try to have brothers in abundance, as many as possible. If you can have 100, then 99 is not enough. If you can have 1,999 is not enough. This is something that you can never be satisfied and say, this is enough. There is no limit. And then Rasulullah makes also an argument, which is not the only reason, but one of the beautiful reasons. فَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ شَفَاعَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Every believer can intercede for his brothers and sisters in faith. You know, one of the things that we say when we make the treaty for brotherhood, Ahd Ukhuwwat, you know, in Eid al-Qadir on the 18th of Zi-Hajjah, so there is a formula to recite and then become brothers in faith. So one of the things that we say there is that, okay, I now forgive you with respect to all my rights. أَسْقَطْتُ عَنْكَ جَمِيعَ حُقُوقَ الْأُخُوَّةِ Inshallah, we will explain. Brothers and sisters in faith have lots of rights over each other. So I say, I don't want anything from you, but I want three things. These three things will not be forgiven and will not be forgotten. الدُّعَاء وَالزِّيَارَةِ وَالشَّفَاعَةِ I don't want anything from you on the day of judgment. I'm not going, you know, to take you to the court of Allah and say, this brother has not given me my rights. But these three I am not going to forget. You should pray for me. I expect you to pray for me. And I expect you to visit me and to do shafa'a for me. These are three things that never can be forgotten. So, a mu'min, when is in a good condition, when his heart is soft after salat, when goes ziyarah in the night of Qadr, in the night of Jum'ah, is remembering his brothers and sisters in faith and prays for them. And also on the day of judgment, intercedes, does shafa'ah for them. To do shafa'ah doesn't mean that I myself have to be ma'soom. Allah is so kind and merciful that gives the right of shafa'ah even to ordinary muttaqeen, ordinary believers. He says, you are a mu'min, you can do shafa'ah for your brother, and that brother also can do shafa'ah for you, and then I will forgive both of you. Because Allah only looks for excuses to forgive. He wants a reason to forgive. And those who are not forgiven, they are people who have really denied all the merciful offers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to themselves. So Rasulullah said, استكثروا من الإخوان, try to have brothers in faith as much as possible, good friends as much as possible, as many as possible. فَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ شَفَاعَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Because every mu'min can do shafa'ah. And your brother in faith, your sister in faith can do shafa'ah for you. So do you want one shafi or 10 shafi, 100 shafi, 1,000 shafi? You know, one of the things that we have in our hadith is about 40 mu'min asking forgiveness. If someone dies and 40 brothers in faith say, "Oh Allah, this was our brother in faith, please forgive him," then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will forgive. If you manage to have 40 mu'min who support you, Allah says, okay, there are things that you don't know about him, but because he managed to have such pious social life, that 40 people who have looked at him from different angles, they were happy with him, they consider him as mu'min, that is enough for me. You know, it's very difficult to please Allah if he wants to examine us according to his knowledge. No one can please Allah apart from mukhlasin. If Allah wants to examine us according to his very careful knowledge, it's very difficult. You know, it is said that the grand Ayatollah Burujerdi, when he was dying, he was very concerned. And there were some ulama in his presence. And they said, "You have to have no worry at all. You are a person that has spent all his life for the sake of knowledge and Islam. You have trained tens of mujtahideen. You have made mosques, schools, everything. You have brought respect and honor." You know, he was such a person that even the king was asking permission to meet him. But he said, "أخلص العمل فإن الناقد بصير بصير." Make your, this is hadith, make your action pure, because the one who is examining your action is very sharp. I may deceive you, but I cannot deceive God. You may think I am an honest person, but I can never deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to please Allah, if he is going to examine us according to his knowledge, is very, very difficult. But to please God, when he treats us not according to his knowledge, according to his fazl, according to his mercy, is easy. This is why we say, "Ya Sari Ar-Rida." Not because we can deceive him, not because he doesn't know the bad things that we have done. No, because he is very kind. For example, as I said, he says, if 40 mu'min can bear witness that you were a good person and they ask me to forgive you, I will forgive you. Of course, this is for the person who has 40 people in his favor and not also 40 people against, or na'uzu billah, thousands of people against him. So Rasulullah said, every mu'min can do shafa'ah, and therefore you should try to have as many friends as possible. So we, inshallah, continue this discussion tomorrow about brotherhood and friendship in Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. بحثی که انشاءالله به خواست خداوند متعال در این 10 شب مطرح میکنیم، دیدگاه اسلام درباره اخوت و برادری ایمانی است. قرآن مجید میفرماید که همه مؤمنین، مؤمنین واقعی، همه باید نسبت به هم برادر باشند. انما المؤمنون اخوه. رسول اکرم صلی الله علیه و آله و سلم در یک حدیثی فرمودند انسان مسلمان بعد از نعمت اسلام هیچ فایده و بهره‌ای عائدش نمی شود که بالاتر از برادر مسلمان باشه. حالا برای خواهرها، خواهر مسلمان، یعنی بعد از نعمت هدایت مهمترین نعمت این است که انسان، انسان مؤمنی را بتونه پیدا بکنه که برادر واقعیش باشه، خواهر واقعیش باشه. در یک روایتی امام صادق علیه السلام فرمودند مؤمن برادر مؤمن است و چشم مؤمن است و دلیل و راهنمای مؤمن است. من اگر به هر چیزی شک بکنم به چشم شک نمی کنم. حتی ممکنه گاهی یه چیز را شنیدم شک کنم، میگم شاید درست نشنیدم، ولی وقتی یک چیز را میبینم دیگه شک نمی کنم. انقدر باید مؤمنین با هم صمیمی و دارای اعتماد متقابل باشند که انسان وقتی از یک برادر مؤمنش، خواهر مؤمنش یک چیزی را شنید، مطمئن باشه که این داره آنچه را که حقیقت میداند میگوید. ممکن است اشتباه بکند ولی خیانت نمیکنه، منو نمیخواد فریب بده، دروغ نمیگه، مطابق بهترین معلوماتی که داره، بهترین درکی که داره به من داره این مطلب را میگه. بعد امام صادق فرمودند مؤمن به برادر خودش خیانت نمی کند، ظلم نمی کند، فریب نمی دهد، تخلف در وعده نمی کند. انسان با هیچ کس نباید این کارها رو بکنه، اما اگر یک کسی حداقل از صدق و ایمان رو داشته باشه، لااقل نسبت به مؤمنین نباید خیانت بکنه، لااقل نسبت به مؤمنین نباید ظلم کنه. پس اگر یک کسی به مؤمنی خیانت کرد، اگر به مؤمنی ظلم کرد، در روابط اجتماعی، کاری، اقتصادی مؤمن را گول زد و فریب داد، این چطور میتونه ادعای ایمان کنه؟ نمیشه ادعای ایمان کنه. و نهایتاً این حدیث را نقل کردیم از رسول اکرم صلی الله علیه و آله و سلم که فرمودند هر چقدر میتوانید برادر دینی یا برای خواهرها، خواهران دینی داشته باشید. استکثروا من الاخوان. نگید یکی بسته، دوتا بسته. این رابطه باید توسعه پیدا کنه، این شبکه ایمانی و ولایی باید توسعه پیدا کنه. اگر شما میتونید 101 دوست داشته باشید، 100 تا کافی نیست. بعد رسول الله فرمودن فان لكل مؤمن شفاعه يوم القيامه. هر مؤمنی در روز قیامت شفاعت میکنه برای برادر دینی خودش. ممکنه خودش هم نیاز به شفاعت داشته باشه، اشکال نداره، ولی خدا این حق رو میده که برای مؤمن دیگه حق شفاعت بکنه. پس هر چی شما بیشتر دوست و برادر دینی داشته باشید، شفعای بیشتری در روز قیامت دارید. امیدواریم که انشاءالله خداوند متعال به ما این توفیق را بدهد که مزه ایمان و طعم ایمان را بچشیم و همینطور طعم دوستی و برادری صادقانه رو انشالله بچشیم. انشالله پیوند بین همه ما، پیوند ایمانی نورانی ولایی باشد انشالله. امیدواریم که در میان ما به فضل الهی کسی نباشد که خدایی نکرده به مؤمن دیگری ظلم بکند، خیانت بکند، دروغ بگه، تخلف وعده بکنه. انشاءالله رابطه ما رابطه مشهون از صفا، اعتماد، صمیمیت و محبت باشد که اگر یک چنین رابطه بین مؤمنین برقرار شد، سعادت دنیا و آخرت قطعا تأمین میشه. از خداوند متعال میخواهیم که گناهان ما را در این لحظات مبارک انشاءالله ببخشد و ما را انشاءالله پاک و طاهر وارد شب قدر بگرداند. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين.